Welcome to Authors of the Pacific Northwest, where we connect Pacific Northwest authors with new listeners and provide advice for aspiring authors on the business of writing. I'm your host, Vicki J. Carter. So hi, listeners. Welcome back to the podcast. And today I have CJ Jones from the Pacific Northwest, and she is a romance author. So CJ, say hi to everyone.
Hi, everyone.
Awesome. Thanks. So CJ, why don't you tell our listeners first what state you live in the Pacific Northwest? And if you have a day job, what is that day job?
I live in Longview, Washington, Washington State.
Yeah.
And my day job is an IT intern at Lower Columbia College, where I'm also a student. I'm getting my degree in computer science, so I'm excited.
Good, good. Well, as podcasters start to get to know me, they'll know that LCC was where I first started, and I am a background in IT, so go girl.
Yeah, right.
Good. So what would you like your readers that are listening to this podcast, new readers, know about you kind of right up front? What's something you can share with us?
Oh, God. Personal note, I spent 8 years in the Navy as a data processing technician. So I've been in the computers about 35 years. Mm-hmm. Happily married to an amazing author himself. His nickname is Bear. Oh, God, I've lived in various states, Nevada, grew up in Connecticut in the Atlantic Northeast. I got to travel to 7 countries, 4 of them twice when I was in the Navy before I turned 30.
Oh, my gosh, that's awesome. I bet that helps with your perspective when you write.
It does.
Cultural and background.
Oh, yes.
That's news. I didn't know that. I didn't find that researching you. So good tidbit to share. Yes. When did you realize you were an author? Take us through that moment.
Oh, that moment was like, I want to say, 15, almost 20 years ago, I've been an avid romance reader for years. In fact, when I was in the Navy, a friend of mine started reading a romance novel, historical, because I thought I was written back then. Mm-hmm. And I got hooked on that. And then a few years down the line, their paranormal romance started. And I really got hooked on those. Mm-hmm. Love paranormal romance. And then after reading a few 150 books, I wondered if I could write one myself. Uh-huh. I mean, I have my own ideas and my own stories in my head that I'm like, ooh, I wonder if I can actually do this. So I got with a mentor who was one of my favorite authors and asked her if she could mentor me. And she said, yes. She said, but just let you know, I am the queen of run-on sentences. And I'm like, yeah, I got you.
I love it.
And so I just sat down and just started writing my book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to go back to a couple of things that triggered questions I have. So you have one book published, correct?
Yes. Yes.
And it's self-published, correct?
Yes. Right? I am self-published. Yes.
Okay. We're going to go back to visit that because that's kind of where I'm leaning towards. And that's what started this whole podcast idea for me. I tell everybody all the time, this podcast is all about me. I'm in research mode and trying to figure out what I want to do with my work. Right. And so self-publishing is where I tend to lean a little bit towards. So since you're self-published, why did you decide to do self-publishing? There's, you know, other options out there.
There is a lot of other options. And I tried to go the traditional route, going through an e-publisher. But for me, there was some miscommunications. Mm-hmm. And I had talked to, and I had networked with a lot of other authors, a lot of the authors that I've read. Mm-hmm. I networked with them and found out exactly how they got started and what they felt worked for them. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are self-published, and they like that freedom of being able to, yes, sit down and put yourself on a deadline, but earn all the money for themselves.
Correct.
There is a lot of investment into self-publishing to do it right, to make it look professional, but the hard work just to publish it yourself is just so much better than not necessarily going through traditional publishing. And there's nothing wrong with going through traditional.
Yeah, there's not.
It's a lot of hassle, a lot more hustle than normal than self-publishing.
Yeah. Okay.
So
That's good information, because like I said, I am in research mode. I do lean towards, and my listeners will hear this by the time we get to your podcast, is that I lean towards self-publishing because my husband is in the record industry beforehand. So I know the hustle on that side of it.
Okay.
And I'm like, I can put all that energy myself without a lot of people kind of adding into it. So
right,
I'm also
exactly.
a little control freak, so I'm thinking that that helps.
Exactly.
So what's the title of your book that you have published? And we'll make sure that our readers have and listeners have it all in show notes so they can find you, but we missed that part of the title.
Okay. The title of the book is called Feeling His Passion. It's Empathic Shifters Book One.
Ooh, series is coming. Yay.
Yay. And this has been a long 10-year journey for me. I started this back when, like I said, I decided to start writing. So this is my very first novel, and 10 years of hustling and learning, actually learning how to write. There is a whole mechanics of learning to write and write well.
Exactly.
I've learned in the last 10 years.
What have you been using to learn? Because I like to share resources. Did you have like maybe one or two resources that you could tell us, and then we'll make sure those are linked also in the show notes?
Yeah, I joined a writer's group called Savvy Authors, which is amazing, an amazing group of people and peers and a lot of teachers. They have classes constantly going on daily for learning the craft of writing, how to spice up your stories, how to expand your stories, how to pitch to an editor. Agent,
nice
publisher. I mean, they have so many resources, and they have critique groups constantly. You know, you join a critique group, and it's like a group of like four or five women or men, and you all share your stories and writing, and critique each other.
Is it an online group?
Yes, it's an online group.
Good. Yes, well, we'll make sure that link is put in the show notes because I'm interested in looking at that one too.
Yes. It is. It's amazing. Also, what has helped me and my husband in our writing is Stephen King. Stephen King has a book called On Writing.
Oh, yes.
I highly recommend that to anybody and everybody who's an aspiring author. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what genre you write either.
Yeah, it's highly recommended. One of the most common things I've heard left and right is to read that book.
Yes.
And so we'll make sure that's in show notes too. If somebody hasn't heard that and they're working in this journey, it would be surprising to me, but I've heard it's fantastic. I haven't read it yet. I'm terrible at getting to it. Good. Yep. So definitely need to be reading it. Awesome. So good resources.
Yes.
Okay. So one thing I found that I love with my romance writers is their cover art is always exciting. How did you do that? Did you use a cover art service? Did you do it yourself? I know you also have a background in web design too. Mm-hmm. So did you do it all yourself? And if you did, where the heck do you guys get these pictures of these gorgeous people?
Well, I got with one of my author friends, who's also a self-published romance author. Dar Albert does my book covers at Wicked Smart Design.
Okay, we'll make sure that's listed too.
Yes, Wicked Smart Design. She, I got with her through, like I said, another author friend of mine, Ellie Wilson, and emailed Dar and said, "Hey, I'm a friend of Ellie's, and you do her book covers, and I was wondering if you could, you know, help me with mine." Mm-hmm. So send me a form to fill out so she can get some background of the story.
Yeah.
And so she can fit the background of the story to the cover. And when she showed me just the first draft of the cover, I was like, oh my God.
Oh, it's perfect.
Yeah. It is perfect. And then my favorite color is purple anyway. So,
yeah,
you know.
So she got nailed it. Yeah.
Okay. That was a plus.
So the one main thing I'm hearing from you already in the last couple questions, and it's really piquing my interest, is that you have reached out to others. You didn't wait for anybody to come hunt you down and say, "Hey, I can help you." You looked out for a mentor. That's one thing that I've been told over and over again, find a mentor in your genre and see if they'll mentor you. And also you got to hustle. You can't be afraid. You got to pick up the phone, the email, and go for it. And so I appreciate you reinforcing that for our listeners and for myself, because I am very known for doing the same thing. I mean, I would have never met you personally if it wasn't for a friend of mine said, hey, there's another gal in the area, email her. And right. I messaged you, you know, from a random message from Vicky.
Right. But yeah, I found out, even though I am my husband doesn't believe I'm an introvert, but I am an introvert. I don't normally meet people. I don't like to walk up to strangers out in the out in the street.
Yeah.
But through this computer, I have, like I said, I found my mentor 15, almost 20 years ago. And she and I talk all the time. She, like I said, you'll read it in my dedication. This woman has talked me back from the ledge so many times.
Oh, good.
I reached out to other authors, especially my favorite authors. If I like their novels and I read their whole series, I'll friend them on Facebook and, you know, ask them questions in a private message about, you know, how they got started, what did they do to get started, and just continue to network, which is not normal for me, but this writing gig, this is a passion of mine. It's the title of my first book. It is a passion of mine, and I want to get these stories out because, you know, schizophrenia sucks when you got all these voices in your head.
No kidding. Okay, for those non-authors listening to us, it is true us authors have voices in our heads. But we have to get them out. That's how these stories happen. And
yes.
It does. So that's a lovely author side note. It's true. So you're inspiring me. Thank you. Because today I was struggling and, you know, like all of us, we struggle. And today was a struggle day before we started the recording. It's like, I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm reaching out to so many people. I'm not getting a lot of responses, but I understand people's time too. So thank you for reminding me that the hustle really depends on me and I got to get myself out there. So
exactly.
And so fantastic. Awesome. Okay. So going back to another question that I ask all my authors on here is a question that I hear a lot from other people is to get an agent or to not get an agent. So do you currently have an agent or are you ever going to pursue that option for agent?
Right now I do not have an agent because it's the very first novel. I would like to eventually get an agent to help me navigate the shark infested waters of publishing. To really get my name out there because my goal, I don't know if I want to sound conceited or
say your goal, put it out there. We believe in it.
My goal is to be a New York Times, USA Today Publishers Weekly bestselling author continuously with every book that I write. That is my goal.
Awesome.
And, you know, maybe win a reader award at the World Writers of America.
Well, if you do, I'm in that audience with you. I'm going to cheer you on because I believe that we have to speak it out and say this is what our goal is. And
yes.
I'm all about it. So fantastic. Yes. Well, it's just something I've been playing around with too with agent, you know, the idea of agents, you know, and like I said, you know, had past experience with another industry and I'm really shy about this idea about agents and others involved. I'm not closed off to it, but I'm not necessarily open wide right now either. Of course, I don't have anything published yet. So we'll see what happens when that gets there.
All right.
When I have talked to other authors, traditional or independent, you know, they come from an independent, smaller publishing house or self-publishing, the number one thing that I'm finding is that the marketing, we have to market ourselves. There's nobody going to do it for us. Even if you have an agent or a PR rep, you have to get yourself out there. And that's the thing I was struggling with today because Twitter and I have never been good friends. And so I've decided I'm going to embrace Twitter and start working through that. And today I was just like, this is an area that I'm like, didn't want to get into, but I'm going to. And I've become obsessed with Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Right. And it's kind of taken a little bit of time away from creativity and writing. So what are some of your tips for somebody like me that is starting out and feeling that overwhelming, oh my gosh, I got to get myself out there social network wise. What do you use and what's some tips?
For me, I've noticed it between work and school, it's time management. You have to take time out between the personal life and the professional life and the writing life. You have to sit down and say, okay, I'm going to spend this many hours on a story or brainstorming.
Yeah.
You have to spend this many hours on personal life with your spouse, significant other, or whatever.
Yeah.
Time management. And I'm still learning that myself because I can get to the point where I write and write and write and write and write and write. And I'm like, oh, wow, did I take a shower today?
I get tunnel vision too. I'm like,
my husband will say, did you take your medicine today? And I'm like, I don't know, what time is it?
My husband will say, did you eat?
Did you eat? Yeah.
Or what my husband has been known to do, he'll come in and take my computer and close the lid of it. Hello. And I'm like, oh, hi. Because I'm so tunnel vision.
Great. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's the whole time management thing. I'm still learning that myself. But now that we're on spring break, I can focus more on brainstorming for book two and getting that out the way. And I've gotten a lot more help with that. I've gotten a new editor who is possibly going to help me. She's already given me a lot of help. And this woman herself is already a New York Times bestselling author. She's been writing for 30 years.
She'll edit your work?
I'm going to pay this woman money. And she's like... she's the one who got me really started on paranormal erotic romance. Mm-hmm. So she decided she needed a part-time job to just do editing on the side. And I'm like, okay,
I'll sign up. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's another area with self-publishing that I've been hearing a lot. You know, not everybody will put the money out for an editor. And I think coming from academia, because I don't know if you know my full story, but I started at your college that you're at as a student myself, raising my children, and following my husband's career around, and then moved all the way up, and now I'm a faculty member for a university. So I come from academia, and I really believe in good writing, and you can't write alone. You have to have somebody else professionally read your work, not just for grammar, spelling, punctuation, but for content and place.
Yes.
So exactly. I've been playing with the idea too of, you know, when do I find an editor and how do I hire them and that kind of thing. So sounds like to me that you developed this relationship from networking. Is that, and tell me how that happened. You just talked to her about it?
I just talked to her. I mean, like I said, I've networked with her on Facebook, and I told her I've read her books for years. Mm-hmm. She's one of my favorite authors who got me going into writing myself, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I asked her for ideas. I mean, I just told her, I just blushed and say, yeah, you know, I'm not worthy. You're just talking. I love your writing. And we connected in private messaging because I told her how much I loved her books. Mm-hmm. And then when she decided, you know, she wanted to do a little something on the side instead of getting a regular job, she said she's going to do editing. And so I'm like, a week later, I'm like, okay,
perfect.
When, you know, how booked up are you right now? She says, no, you're my first one to bite.
Oh, like,
Shut up. Okay. I'm on this now.
So let me ask you this question. Do you know if she is going to only stay in her genre or if she'd be willing to edit others?
No, she's mostly staying in her genre. She writes romance. She's into science fiction. Mm-hmm. As far as horror, she says she can't do horror because she doesn't really read horror.
Yeah, yeah.
She's staying mostly in science fiction and romance.
Awesome. Well, you might get hit up from some other people after hearing this. Who is this gal and how do we get a hold of her? So you better pre-warn her that, you know, when listeners start listening, she might get a lot busier than she anticipated.
Well, what I wanted to say too was, as far as being self-published, people sometimes think that it's a waste of money. It's not really a waste of money. You have to see it as investing in yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to invest in your craft.
Yeah.
So besides learning creative writing or learning writing in general, you have to invest in a cover artist. You have to invest in an editor. Mm-hmm. And if you want your book to be as fabulous as you think it is in your mind.
Exactly.
You have to invest.
Oh, it's brilliant in our mind, right?
It always is.
Oh my goodness. Then we start reading it out loud to someone. I'm like, oh, whoa, stop. Okay. Rewind.
What was I thinking?
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. So, you know, my husband and I, so my journey started with this round of writing. So the big joke is that I've started and stopped, start and stop in our 25 years of marriage often. Mm. But this last round, I was playing with the idea of starting another degree. I mean, I have my master's and I was like, I can do my doctorate. My kids are pretty much raised. It's time to get started on something else. I'm getting antsy. And he just looked at me and goes, why don't you just write? You're a great writer. Why don't you just put all of that energy instead of going getting your doctorate into developing your writing career that you've always wanted to do? And I'm like, oh, duh. Yeah. But you know what? I've had to put 100% into this as if it is me doing a doctorate degree. The time and energy into it is immense and to get going on it.
Right.
And so that's how my mind is thinking. So it is an investment in our future and my future as it would be a degree.
Yes, exactly. So, exactly.
So yeah. Awesome. Okay. So what keeps you inspired? What keeps you going as an author? Because there's a lot of days that I'm sure it's a struggle.
Yeah. Relaxing and watching TV. brainstorming with my husband on his stories because he writes horror.
Mm-hmm.
We have decided we're going to do a joint project later on down the road.
I was going to find out. So for listeners, we're going to have our husband on the podcast as well. So you'll meet him. And I was wondering if you guys were going to do a joint project. And
yes,
if you guys get that published, we'll probably bring you back together, which would be a lot of fun.
Okay, great. Yeah, we have a joint project where we're in the works of brainstorming and getting that storyline together. But just honestly, the schizophrenia, getting the stories out, getting all these guys to stop seducing me to write their stories, and all these women, these strong, badass women in my head, mm-hmm. like, look, girl, we need to get, our story needs to be told. So you need to get in front of the laptop and let's do this.
Yep. And you know, I can't remember who I heard this famous author said somewhere in readings and all the years that I've been looking at this is, if you don't tell their story, somebody else will. They'll go to someone else. I know that sounds really weird, but it's true. I believe that. So I'm really proud of you that you are starting to tell those stories because you deserve to be the one to share them. You know, they came to you first.
Thank you.
So we're going to get ready for your reading. So my listeners all know that I ask all these questions first and they have to wait for almost to the end for your reading. So before you start reading, why don't you set the stage for us? Share with us what you can about the situation, the settings and all that, and then we'll let you go for it and I'll close us out at the very end.
Okay. So our story, Feeling His Passion, is about Catherine Harvey and Jake Carrington. Jake is a former Marine and casino owner in a fictitious casino in Las Vegas. Catherine is a cocktail waitress that works there. They were born with a spirit animal that allows them to shift into that spirit animal. But they also have empathic feelings where they can feel each other's emotions upon first touch. But when two mates get together, that feeling is intense. And what we set up here is Catherine meeting Jake for the first time. He's a casino owner, but she doesn't know he's a casino owner yet. So he's in the lounge with a bunch of his friends drinking, and she's a cocktail waitress who's working in that area. So this is their first meeting from when she starts her rounds. Okay, Catherine took a deep breath, picked up her tray, and walked up the small stairway to start her rounds through the lounge. She tried her best to ignore the gorgeous man who continued to stare at her. Nonchalantly, Catherine smiled, told the breathtaking gentleman she'd be with them shortly, then proceeded to the back of the lounge. Time slowed as she walked back toward him. The eye contact with him intensified as her senses kicked up with a couple of notches, like an Emeril Lagasse bam. She momentarily broke eye contact with him as she approached their table. She started to speak when her words caught in her throat. She cleared her throat and tried again. "Good evening, gentlemen. What would you like to have?" The gentleman who stared at her raised his right eyebrow, then smiled. She realized she asked a loaded question, smiled wider, then whispered to herself, "Way to go, girl." They all laughed. They must have heard her private scolding. They each ordered a beer, except the man who continued to stare at her. His eyes were intense, focused, and practically held her in a trance. "They are so green. I've never seen anyone with such an intense eye color before," which made her wolf answer, "Duh." She recovered from the hold he had on her. "Sir, what would you like to drink?" A gentleman to his left backhanded his arm. "Answer the lady." "Yes, beer. I'd like a beer, please." Oh, his voice was a low rumble. A sound was sexy as smooth as cognac. The vibration sent an electrical charge through her that settled in her southern region. Great goddess, his scent was enticing. Not like regular men's cologne, something different, alluring. Her breath caught in her throat and her heart skipped a couple of beats when he smiled at her. This was the first in a long, long time her shifter senses increased hard and fast while still in human form. A little dizziness overtook her as she walked back down towards the cocktail station. She held onto the handrail as she walked down the steps to keep her balance. A loud commotion came from the high limit slot area. Someone released a blood-curdling scream as three security officers ran there. Patty walked back towards the station, fast, with a look of complete satisfaction on her face. There was broken glass all over her tray, and in front of her uniform was wet. "Are you okay?" Catherine leaned in close and whispered jokingly, "What did you do? Did you shift? I thought you were against shifting in public." Patty looked at her best friend in the eye with a look of innocence. Well, she tried to give her friend a look of innocence, but failed miserably. In a low, demure voice, she said, "I did not shift. However, the shit-faced asshole in high limit slots won't be able to grab anyone's uniform tail again, at least not for a while." She blinked innocently. Patty shared how somehow the pinky and the ring finger on his right hand got bent backward toward the back of his hand. Having a spiritual animal made shifters stronger and faster than other humans, from even in human form. So Patty asked Nick's bartender to call Roger to let him know she would go to security to make a statement. The security and lounge area weren't that busy considering it was Friday evening, but Nick took far too long to bring her drink orders to her. She straightened out stir sticks, wrapped foam around coffee glasses, and cleaned her tray to keep her busy. She made eye contact every time she looked up at the gorgeous man with amazing green eyes. She couldn't keep a stupid, cheesy grin off her face as the heat in her cheeks increased each time. She picked up a glass to wrap it in foam and stopped when she felt something. A low vibration that started in her midsection, deep inside her being that spread throughout her body. As the vibration increased, it turned into a growl. She looked up again and realized it came from him. Slowly, her world faded away. The music from the casino speakers, noise from the slot machines, the slot tables, table games, crowds of patrons, and employees' conversations slowly disappeared. She only felt and heard the growl. It called to her, beckoned her. Her breathing became shallow. She felt a sheen of perspiration form on her brow and cleavage. She heard a heartbeat, his heartbeat. It kept in rhythm with hers. Her wolf perked up. She responded to him, compelled to react as if she had no other choice. His mating call pulled her, and his eyes responded with a slight glow. Catherine's reality returned when Nick stepped up with the four beers and other drinks. The casino's noise level returned. She almost couldn't remember what she was supposed to do. Then slowly, realization returned. The lightheaded dizzy feeling returned as she walked toward the four men. Her body heat increased the closer she approached him. "Here you go, gentlemen." They each tipped her. "Thank you. I'll be back around soon. But please let me know if you need anything else." Before she walked off, she and the gorgeous man made eye contact again. She watched his eyes glance at her name tag pinned across her left breast. "Catherine? Yes, there is something else I would like. Your phone number." "Oh, that's cute. Like, I haven't heard that line before. Seriously, if you gentlemen need anything else, another round, please let me know when I come back around." He began to speak and put on the most dazzling smile she'd had ever seen. Beautiful, sensual lips that should be illegal. "Oh, beautiful, I am dead serious. Can I get your number?" "I'm sorry, but no, I have other guests to attend to, but I'll be back around." "Yes, Catherine, you do that." Catherine dropped off the drinks to the other patrons in the lounge as she walked back to the bar. She turned and caught him staring again. She enjoyed the way her name fell from his lips. And oh my God, she nearly dove into his lap to devour his lips when her name rolled off his tongue. It was so simple, yet so exciting. The hypnotic ring of his voice captured her and kept her from breathing. And now we're in Jake's head. So Jake adjusted himself as he watched her walk towards the station. "That's definitely an ass to nibble on." This time he said it out loud. When she asked, "What would you like to have?" he didn't think his cock could get any harder. His first thought was he wanted her on her back, on her knees, his face between her thighs as she moaned, no, screamed his name. He liked her response when he asked her for her number. Her scent increased, which was intoxicating, nothing like he'd ever encountered before. Her eyes dilated, her heartbeat increased. From that moment, he knew she would be his. She wanted to play hard to get. He always enjoyed a good hunt. Earth to Jake, Alex snapped his fingers in front of Jake's ear. You have that look, brother. You going hunting? Oh, yeah. He turned back towards his friends. You gonna tell her that you own half the casino? Robert asked. No, I want her to want me for me, not my money. I bragged before and almost lost everything, remember? Yes, but your last girlfriend wasn't one of us. This Catherine is. I can smell Shifter all over her. And you know I never really liked your last girlfriend. She fucking reeked of greed. Your uncle and I tried to tell you, but you wouldn't listen until it was almost too late, RL added. Jake remembered his time with what's her name all too well. 15 years ago, his sense of smell and instincts were entirely off. Since he was finally being honest with himself, he chose to ignore him. He was so pissed off at the world that even his wolf retreated from him. His self-imposed celibacy might have just paid off, which would have driven any normal shifter crazy. For 5 years, he waited for the right one to come into his life. His instincts believed this Catherine might be the one. He knew what he had to do, strike at the right moment. He had to have Catherine's full, undivided attention. This called for patience. Hunting always called for patience. First thing in the morning, he would go see his Uncle Jonathan. In the meantime, he had some stalking to do. Not the I'm crazy kind of stalking, but the oh so subtle, what to get, I want to get to know you kind. As for now, he enjoyed the view.
Awesome. Steamy. You told me it was going to be steamy.
Yep.
Very good. Well, listeners, if you like the steamy content, make sure you go to CJ's website and order her book. And thank you so much for being here with us. And I look forward to chatting with you again in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. We hoped you loved hearing from the author as much as we did. If you did enjoy the author, make sure you find them on social media. Buy their book and write a review. Are you a published author and would like to be featured on the podcast? Visit us at our website to learn more. You can help support the production of this podcast by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Share the podcast with your friends. And most importantly, become a supporter. Supporters receive monthly bonus podcasts and a newsletter filled with tips from our authors. To find out more how to become a supporter, visit our website. And finally, I hope you always remember to enjoy the journey. Until next week, this is Vicki J. Carter saying goodbye.